Well, it's another day to be grateful that you are alive. You and I are alive, and it's another day to be grateful that you and I are still alive. Good morning to you. We're live on Eagle FM. A very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So, yes, welcome to Unpacking the Day. And thanks for joining us this morning. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. And thanks for choosing us to be in your company this morning. So my name is Mike Chauvelli, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, and cultures, and or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's also about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. And if you're just joining us, our time is about 36 minutes past the hour of 7. Today is the 5th of May. of the month of June, the year 2025. So let's get to our segment of On This Day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? So, well, today it's November 16th, 2015, UNESCO General Conference proclaimed May the 5th as an African World Heritage Day. Today, so we commemorate the African World Heritage Day. So this day is dedicated to celebrating Africa's rich and diverse cultural and natural heritage. So despite Africa's hosting about 12% of all World Heritage sites, a significant 39% of these are listed as endangered. Now, the day aims to raise awareness about the importance of preserving these sites and to encourage efforts in their conservation. Today is also an international day of the midwife. 5th May is also recognized as the International Day of the Midwife. While this is a global observance, it is celebrated in many African countries to honor the role of midwives in improving maternal and newborn health. So on May the 5th, in 1941, Emperor Haile Selassie returned to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, making the end of Italian occupation during the World War II. This event is celebrated as Liberation Day or Patriot Victory Day in Ethiopia, symbolizing the country's regained sovereignty and the resilience of its people. So on the very same day, on May the 5th in 2007, Kenya Airways Flight 507 crashed after taking off from Douala International Airport in Cameroon, killing all 114 people on board. This event remains the deadliest aviation disaster in Cameroon's history. So yes, that's what we have for you on this day in Africa. So Thursday, June the 5th, what is our thought for the day? So where there is honey, there are bound to be ants. So where is honey? Where there is honey, there are bound to be ants. Okay? So not ants like uncle and aunt. So where there is honey, there is bound to be ants. So this African proverb convey the idea that valuable or attractive things naturally draw attention and often bringing both positives and negative consequences. Now, in essence, when something desirable exists, like honey, it doesn't just attract those who appreciate it, but also those who might exploit or take advantage of it. So this serves as a reminder to be cautious and prepared for the challenges that often accompany success or prosperity. So, for instance, achieving wealth or fame might bring admiration and opportunities, but it can also attract envy, unsolicited advice, or individual with ulterior motives. So in this way, while enjoying the honey in life, it is wise to be mindful of the ants that may follow. So what indicates that, so while you're enjoying the honey in your life, so it's good to be wise, to be mindful of the ants that may follow as well. So where there is honey, there are bound to be ants. That's our thought for the day. Hopefully that helped you to ponder some of probably aspect or area of your life that you may want to consider or thought about. So thanks for joining us, and you are most welcome to Eagle FM and to Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, we're looking at what we have for you today on this show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its staff.
Well, a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. And thank you for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company. And whether you get to the office, you can stay tuned to Eagle FM. And what you can do, well, first, you can download Eagle FM mobile app so that you continue. So that you have this convenient, you are convenient to listen to Eagle FM wherever you are. So whether you're in the office, wherever you find yourself, so you are instantly, you are constantly connected to the news, to maybe your favorite shows, and also to more features that is found on on Eagle FM app. So all you need to do is just download the Eagle FM app from your Google Play and also the app stores. So, and then you're ready to go. All right. So, and on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the Villager, the newspaper, the Villager, always published on those days. And if you want to stay in the know with business and economic news and all latest news around the country and around the world, the regions and around the world, so you can grab your digital copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And if you're a business person and you would like to advertise your business, or you just want to actually want to promote your event, either event, religious, cultural, political, whatever it is. So we make this quite easy for you. So we make it quite easy for you because we have this app, this complimentary apps that are really perfect for boosting your product and also services or your event to quite a large number of people or to a wide range of customers. This is the IMBA app and also the Eagle FM mobile app as well. So, don't forget our social media platform. So it's one of those. These are some of the really most active social media in the country, and they would give you a perfect space to elevate your brand or product to a large number of listeners. So now contact us at 083-288-400. So 083-288-400. So, and you can have your, then you can be able to negotiate or talk to the persons, about your business. So our time, 47 minutes past the hour of 7. And, so let's get into what is that to we have today. So what we prepared for you today, yesterday I started this and we really had some interview on the qualified teacher who find themselves, you know, on the street, and that has taken up all the time, and we have some people coming through and contribute on the show as well. So then we have what we have today is Namibia and Botswana. There's an idea. You remember when the president actually visited Botswana, this month, we are in June, it's, I think last month, you know, so they talked about an idea of a refinery. So today we're asking if Namibia and Botswana refinery, that idea is a realistic dream or an ambitious, or just a matter of talk? Or is it just, this is about talking, or is that, could that be a realistic dream? I indicated that as well, that, you know, a colleague of mine, Ginomena Vali, Kanjengo Kankwanyoka, Kamekrungwanyoka, so also have written, you know, an article on that in a Tuesday's edition of the Villager. So yeah, and today after 8, we will have a guest. We will talk to Dr. John Stadler. So because he have written an article on this, we would like to follow up on that article and go maybe a little bit deeper into some of the issues that he highlighted. So we will be looking at that just some few minutes later on after 8. So stay tuned for that discussion that's coming up later on. So that's what we're looking at today, and do please stay tuned to you will be welcome as well to come through and really have your contribution on the show. As I said, this is you are the one, you made up this, you are part of this show. Your contribution is valued, and we would love to hear from you. We want to hear your reaction on some of the things that we bring to you. All right, our time is about 10 minutes to 8, and so let's start off. As I said, when we're talking about the Namibia's refiner dream. As I said, this is when now you have these big ambitions, this is the big ambitions. You remember when you grow up, what do you want to be? When you grow up, what do you want to be? You have these big ambitions. Oh, no, I want to be this. I want to be this. But then the reality hits. So, we have this big dreams, and, with this big dream and a small market. So, and I think much of the discussion is between, how do we make this big dream a reality with a small market, Namibia, with the small market Namibia have. So that's why Botswana comes into play, and maybe the region come into play. That's where the whole discussion is all about. So let me paint you a picture of where Namibia stands today. Yeah. So where are we in terms of, because if we understanding the present is very crucial to be able to grasp, it's very crucial to grasping why this refinery question is so complex. It's not an easy thing. So, and right now, Namibia, as we know, Namibia imports virtually all of its refined petroleum products. And I want you to think about that. Think about that for a moment. A country on the verge of becoming a major oil producer, still struck in every liter of gasoline and diesel from abroad. So the National Petroleum Corporation, NAMCO, currently handles these imports and bringing in diesel, petrol, and recently, yesterday, there we see a decrease. There was a decrease in both petrol and diesel. So, and as we said, this the NAMCO bringing in diesel and petrol and fuel oil to do that to meet the country's daily needs. But here is where now it gets interesting from energy security perspective. So Namibia currently imports about 61% of its total energy requirements, and not just petroleum products. This heavy reliance on imports makes the country vulnerable to supply disruption and price volatility and volatility and and the whims of regional. Okay.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Here, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
All right, so welcome back. And when we live in the world of technology, so sometimes there are just those glitch that happens. And yes, we are back. All right, so yeah, now we're looking at that. As I said, there is this heavy reliance on imports, which make our country really vulnerable when it comes to, can become vulnerable, because, you know, those supply can be disrupted because of geopolitical conflict in other region, or conflict tensions in other region could also disrupt because of other conflicts in other region. It could also disrupt, you know, the supply of those products. So price for could also influence the price of those commodities, and also as we said, whims of regional politics can all those have influences on either on prices or production flow of those commodities. So now you would think now that with a major oil discoveries offshore, building a domestic refinery would be a no-brainer. So, that's where now economics meet reality in a way that might, you know, surprise, you know, people or surprise you. So the infrastructure picture tells its own story. So NAMCOR operates storage facilities across the country, including a significant depot in Ochwarongo and partnerships in places like Kietmanshoop. So we have some facilities across the country. So like as I said, in Ochwarongo and also Kietmanshoop, they have even taken over operation of the national oil storage facilities in Wavish Bay. So this existing infrastructure might seem like a foundation for refinery development, but as we will discover, the economics of refining operate on a very entirely different scale. So there was a story in a publication, in a business publications, I think Brief. So where actually expert and economists actually give it their their opinion on this, on this, on this subject. And today we have, as I said, we later on talk to Dr. John Stadler, and well, follow up on his article and see, and really maybe discuss how possible and what could be the implication or the impact of this if it's come to reality, if it's become a reality, and also what are the challenges that that we foresee to make this a reality. So the other expert, I think, in that article highlighted quite a number of issues in that article. And what I did,
need lightning fast internet. Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so what I was trying to say is that what I did is that looking at what are the issues that they are raising. So looking at some of the issues that they are raising and magnify that and probably go into that, make a little bit of a research on those issues and see, what are they talking about and what are the issues that they are raising and, how that make it possible or make it difficult, for us to be able to, have a refinery, facility in Namibia. So now let's talk the numbers because, in the refinery business, scale is everything. Scale is everything. So Namibia currently consumes around, 25,000 barrel of fuel per day. So we consume around 25,000 barrels of fuel per day. Now, to put that in perspective, that is what, that's what a medium-sized city might use. All right. But here's the economic reality check. So refineries only becomes technically, okay, they said, it only becomes technically and financially viable when they are processing somewhere between 100,000 to 300,000 barrel per day. So that's only when it becomes the refineries only become technically and financially viable when it operates, when it's processing somewhere between 100,000 to 300,000. barrel per day. So this is not just about, you know, efficiency, for the refinery itself. It's about the fundamental economics of industrial processing. All right. So refineries are incredibly complex facilities. Yeah. With massive fixed assets. So they have massive fixed asset cost, you know, massive fixed cost. So whether you are now processing 50,000 barrels or 200,000 barrels, many of your core costs remain the same. It hasn't changed. So your control system, your skilled operators, your maintenance schedules, your regulatory compliance infrastructures, all that remain, you know, so those remain the same. So it doesn't depend on how much you actually process. So the only way now to spread this cost effectively is through volume, you know. So it's through volume. So think of it like running a bakery, okay? So think of it like running a bakery. If you're only selling 20 loaves a day, okay? I hope that makes sense. So if you're only selling 20 loaves a day, you can't justify the massive industrial oven. Now you want to have this big oven, you know, but you only sell, just think about it, you only sell about 20 loaves a day. Now you want to have these massive industrial ovens and automated system, for example, that would makes, you know, that would make sense, for, that would only make sense for a bakery that sell, let's say, for example, that's selling 2000 loaves a day. So you can't have this, industrial ovens when you only sell, about 20 loaves or a day. So that only makes sense. That would only make sense, if your bakery, sell, let's say, for example, 20,000, a day. So that's now the comparison in terms that that volume, the, when I said the only way to spread this cost, some of this huge cost, massive cost effectively is through volume, you know, through numbers, you know, and the same principle then applies to refineries, but with $1 billion price, you know, these are $1 billion price tags, instead of $1,000 oven that I'm referring to. So I think this create what most of many economic call a threshold effect. You know, what they call now a threshold effect. So below a certain volume. So if your processing is below a certain volume, the economics simply don't work. You know, no matter how much oil you have in the ground. So Namibia finds itself in a peculiar position. So we find ourselves in that peculiar position of potentially having abundant raw material, but insufficient domestic demand now to justify the processing infrastructure. So we have insufficient domestic demand that can't justify the processing infrastructure of that massive cost, that cost that much. But we have abundant raw material, but definitely insufficient domestic demand to justify the processing infrastructure. So those are some of the reasons. Okay. Yeah. Now let's also then look at that $1 billion infrastructure challenge that we're talking about. So the financial requirement. So now for building a refinery. So these are all information. As I said, there is an article really looking at this, and it becoming it's gaining momentum as something that is being talked about. It's come now in public domain where people talk about economists talk about this. So yeah, and because the president also have, and that's the goal. That's a goal. There's something that the president actually seriously considering it, and those in the know-how are now putting heads together and thoughts, putting the heads together to see is that possible or is that not possible. Now, the financial requirement for building a refinery are really, really staggering. This is where many country refinery dreams have historically actually come to an end. Okay. All right. So this is where, yeah. So in case there has been a breakdown in communication there, in the broadcasting there. Okay. So as I said, now, when it comes to now financial requirement of building a refinery, this is where many countries actually, their refinery dreams actually historically in some country have come to an end. So we're talking about investment in the range of 3 to 5 billion, in that range of 3 to 5 billion US dollars for a modern facility. So, and to put that in perspective, that roughly equivalent to Namibia's entire annual government budget. So that's roughly, you know, our whole government budget. So that's how, this is just a modern, it's just a modern facility. It would cost you that much. But the challenges go beyond just the refinery itself. So the supporting infrastructure requirements are equally daunting, are equally expensive. And you need extensive pipeline network actually to move crude oil now from your port or from production side to your refinery. So, and you need additional pipeline system to distribute refined product from the refinery now to consumption centers. You know, you need massive storage tanks, farms, for both crude oil and refined products. You need specialized port facilities capable of handling both crude oil and import and refined product export. So it's, and each of these infrastructure components represent its own multi-million dollars investment. So the pipeline network alone could cost hundreds of millions, depending on the distance and the terrain. So when you add up all this requirement, you are looking at total infrastructure investment that could easily exceed the cost of the refinery itself. So this infrastructure challenge is particularly acute for a country like Namibia, where population centers are scattered across the vast distance. So building a pipeline network to serve cities like Windhoek, hundreds of kilometers inland, or a northern town like maybe Ondangwa, where I am, so representing significant engineering, and that's actually represent significant engineering and financial challenges. So that's some of the when it comes now to, you know, infrastructure challenge. You know, it's cost billion of dollars. Just to highlight some of the things that experts are talking about. So stay tuned. We're gonna try to get in contact with our guest this morning and see if we can get a hold of him and get into a more discussion on these topics. So we'll get back. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omotiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randisoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe okupipiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o ambiyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future.
All right. Okay. So, yeah. Welcome. Welcome back. So we're trying to get to Dr. John. So just give me a little bit of just a few time. I think it's got a different number that I need to call him from. We will do that in a sec, once he forward that to me. So because it's not connecting the internet.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongote samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro mirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kwa dara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-235-8063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongote samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro mirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe.
All right. Good morning. And if you're just joining us, sorry for that. A little bit of a hiccups that we had, and we are back. And I think everything actually is in order. So Good morning, dear listener, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have a fascinating topic on our hands, an idea that could reshape the energy landscape in Southern Africa. I'm talking about Mr. John Stadler's recent article, Building an Oil Refinery Could Be a Fine Idea. So where he explores the potential for Namibia and Botswana to partner on a joint refinery. Now, Stadler argues that with Namibia's offshore oil discovery and both countries currently importing all their fuel, building a shared refinery could actually stabilize cost, create thousands of jobs, and help control the entire value chain from crude to the pump. All right. So, of course, it's a huge undertaking, a multi-billion dollar project with environmental and logistical challenges. That's why we are here today, to dig deeper, ask hard questions, and seek if this ambitious vision really makes sense. Joining us now is the author himself, John Stadler. John is the founding member and managing director of R&J Stadler, and he's previously served as an economic advisor to President Hage Geingob. John, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. How are you doing?
Mike, I'm well, and I hope you're also well. It's chilly in Windhoek today, but I guess it's the time. It's winter is here.
Yeah. So it's I hear there's some weathers in Cape Town that would actually influence our weathers here in Windhoek. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
That's correct.
So when you look at the fuel demand here in Namibia, let's get into this. And Botswana, do you think there is enough consistent demand now to keep a new refinery running profitably? Now, thinking in terms of what you have written in your article, and how confident are you that the neighboring countries will buy from us instead of, like South Africa have some, it's a supplier. Are you confident that they will buy from us instead of, you know, sticking maybe with South Africa as a supplier? So just referring to the whole idea of the refinery.
Okay, Mike, maybe I just want to put things a little bit in context.
Yeah.
The article was, I started it because of the pronunciation that our president made, that there could be a joint refinery.
Yeah. Mm.
But if you look a bit deeper, what I'm actually propagating for is that Namibia and Botswana should build an oil refinery for SADC.
Yeah.
So if you consider the volumes, not for Namibia and Botswana, but if you consider the volumes of import of refined fuel products, whether it is petrol, diesel, jet oil, paraffin, it's massive.
Yeah.
I just want to cite maybe two or three figures.
Yeah.
Just Namibia alone imports almost 20 billion Namibia dollars worth of refined fuel products.
Yeah.
And for Botswana, the same amount. But what's even more surprising is that Angola, our neighbor that has crude oil, also imports much more oil than refined oil than us.
Yeah.
That has actually prompted Angola to upscale their refining capacity. I don't know how far they are, but then if you look at South Africa, so we actually don't get our fuel from South Africa.
Yeah.
It's Namibia. So South Africa is a net importer of refined products. So it does have refining capacity, but the scale at which South Africa imports is massive. And so we import from countries like Malaysia, the United Emirates, Turkey, and many other countries. So I believe if we look at a demand for at a SADC level, then the figures will start to stack up. And I think that could also give like an impetus for for intra-SADC trade. So yeah. In SADC, we are trying to promote free trade among SADC countries. We have the SADC Free Trade Agreement. But trade is very little. It's also very minimal between SADC countries.
Mm.
So here I thought it could be a good idea to say that we should have an oil refinery for SADC.
Yeah.
If you look at SADC, it is about 14 odd member countries. In those member countries, it's only three of them that have refining capacity. Angola,
yeah.
Zambia to some extent, South Africa.
South Africa. Mm.
But South Africa is minimal. You know, South Africa, what we have to understand is, you know, South Africa imports about 4.5 billion liters of refined fuel products.
Yeah.
So South Africa will game change. So my what I'm saying is, let's build an oil refinery for SADC.
Mm.
Because I built it on the concept of NAMPORT.
Yeah.
So when NAMPORT was expanded, the port at Walvis Bay, so the thinking that I think was to say, let's not expand the port for Namibia.
Yeah.
If we expanded the port for Namibia, then it would not have made a lot of economic sense. There would have been redundant capacities.
Mm.
But the idea was always to say that we are building a port for SADC. We are going to Botswana, link to Zambia, even to the DRC.
Yeah.
And I think today we can see that the volumes, they're picking up.
Yeah.
Botswana has a dry port facility, Zambia, Zimbabwe. And a lot of traffic is coming through the port of Walvis Bay.
Mm.
So one of the things, reasons that I thought, is there a business case? Obviously, in the article, I also suggested that we should get a team together that should study whether there's a business case. But at a high level, I think we tick off some boxes. So one of the boxes to have an oil refinery built in Namibia for SADC is because of the geographic strategic position where Namibia is located.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of considerations. But to come back to your question, yes, I think there could be a business case.
Yeah.
It's not been proven yet, but the amount of refined products that SADC import is enormous. I also wanted to, if you allow me, Mike, just on this one, I also thought in the article I made a mistake that I want to clarify. I wanted to say that it's not because we have discovered oil that we should build the oil refinery.
Yeah.
It's because the demand is so huge. Why can't there be an oil refinery in SADC that has 300 million people? Why should we always just then import? If you look at Singapore, is one of the largest exporters of refined oil products in Southeast Asia. They don't have a single drop of oil. They sit next to Malaysia that has crude oil. They produce, they refine more oil than Malaysia. So I say, as an economist, sometimes we don't have to say, because we have discovered, because we have the resource, we must refine it.
Yeah.
I want to say, because we don't have the resource, let's refine it. Yeah, I was inspired by the story of South Korea, where they started to build a steel industry. They did not have any resources, but they imported, and they built a steel industry. And from the steel industry, they started to go into shipyards and auto manufacturing. So sometimes when you don't have resources, that's the way you can import and build the industry. So we have become used to export natural resources, but there's nothing wrong where we can also import the raw materials, process it here, and we have a big market. And now that we also have the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, the market is even bigger. So I think the scales will start to add up.
But when you think, when it comes, speaking of South Africa, they have already this large refineries that I think sometimes sit idle, I think. What makes you think like this SADC refinery can win, if I can put it that, can win away, you know, can win customers away from those existing plans already?
Okay, so firstly, I think we have to demystify the refining capacity of South Africa. South Africa has insignificant refining capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are 3 refineries. It's very insignificant.
Yeah.
It cannot even meet 10% of the demand of South Africa.
Okay.
Even Angola, for example, Angola imports about 3.5 billion worth of refined products, US dollars.
Mm.
So it's about 70 billion Namibia US dollars that they import. So South Africa's refining capacity is insignificant.
Yeah.
It really doesn't have the refining capacity. So we have to understand that. The amount of refined products that we import, that South Africa import, it outstrips by far the capacity that South Africa has.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two is we have to look at a bigger picture, and we have to look at the SADC market, as I said.
Mm.
And we have to realize there's only 3 countries in SADC that have refining capacity, but it's so small, the refining capacity.
Yeah.
So why is it not possible to have additional refining capacity? Why should we always import refined products? Why is it that we sit on a market of 300 million people growing and we have 3 tiny refining capacities.
Mm.
Yes. So the other thing I also looked at, Mike, is I looked at it from the perspective of regional integration.
Yeah.
So what? And I went back to the history of the EU. You know, how did the EU started? The EU actually started with a steel agreement between Germany and France.
Mm.
And that was the beginning of the European Union.
Yeah.
It started with 2 countries that collaborated. So I think we must also now start with this bilateral projects that are not just for one country, but where we pull it off together. And yeah, if Botswana and Namibia can take the lead.
Yeah.
I think that could actually enhance and deepen the SADC free trade agreement.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier on the resources, and if we look at the financial resources now, where do you see the bulk of the money coming from? Would it be government covering most of it, or do you envision private investors or maybe even foreign bank stepping in? What happened? And also what happened then if it's taking long, interest rates spike or investor get cold feet? What happened in case of that?
Okay, so you have raised a number of issues.
In one question.
I think, Mike, the first one, there must be a mix of capital raising. It should not be just government.
Yeah.
So we speak of public-private partnership. So there must be some government involvement. If not, and we just let it to the private sector, maybe it will not happen. But we have to realize that governments don't have deep pockets, and it's also risky.
Yeah.
So how do you de-risk is where you bring in private capital that has the appetite for risk. So we have to look then at a mix of the capital that should come in.
Mm.
So a mix of it should be like, you know, governments will say, okay, we have the offtake agreements that will de-risk the to some extent the private sector. So then you have to bring in maybe private equity, other type of risk capital, debt capital as well. What I like about South Korea actually opted to have debt when they built their steel industry.
Yeah.
And the reason they opted for debt is because they said, once we've paid off the debt, then the asset belongs to us.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a house, you know, you go and you get debt at a bank. Once you pay it off, the house belongs to you.
Mm.
But I don't advocate for 100% debt. It will not be possible.
Yeah.
But there must be a mix, and there must be kind of syndication and of funds that will come in, and the funds have to be blended also to reduce the cost of capital.
Yeah.
So some of it will be for the long term, some will be for the short term. But I think, you know, those are once there's a business case, and the figures are staging up, and we say, okay, there's a business case, we can, SADC can afford an oil refinery. If we say SADC can afford an oil refinery, then we bring in the financiers and say, okay, we have a business case. What I'm pleading for is, if we say SADC can afford an oil refinery, that oil refinery should be in Namibia.
Yeah.
Because it will just make sense to have the refinery in Namibia, because it will be easy to move the refined products from Namibia into the rest of SADC, especially to the landlocked countries.
Mm.
And also see linked countries like South Africa, is, you know, distances play a role when you move oil.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the number of trucks that are moving oil
from
the port of Walvis Bay.
Mm. There's also the question, would you use then trucks or would you use pipelines? Which one would probably be more cheaper in terms of the use of if you have now to supply your oil?
Okay, so the first one is, we should not move oil on trucks.
Mm.
We should minimize it, but we cannot eliminate it completely. So there could be pipelines. I did not consider that, but I think what's important is for us to have rail connectivity.
Yeah,
because you know the damage that these trucks are causing to the roads that we are building, and the amount of money we spend on repairing our roads because of trucks. Remember, it's not only oil, but there's a lot of other resources. They are moving now on trucks. They don't move on rail.
Yeah.
So we have to find a way to upgrade our rail system, and also to connect rail within the region.
Yeah.
So maybe at the beginning it could be rail. I don't know if we should go pipelines yet, but I will advocate as a first step. To move things within SADC, whether it's oil and gas, whether it's copper, whether it's other things that we export, we should actually have a rail system that will facilitate the movement of goods.
Yeah, and when you think of the rail system, for example, you have other countries that have a poor rail system. How long that would take to actually have that network of rail system between countries to be able now to do trade or to be able to now to fully have this operate in the way that one envision?
So, yes, I don't have timelines, but what I can say is I see that many countries in SADC, they are busy upgrading rail. And they're actually moving faster than us. And East Africa is moving at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
So there's rail upgrade in Angola. There's rail upgrade in Zambia. There's rail upgrade in Tanzania.
Yeah.
Kenya has advanced to the SGR where there's a lot of projects happening. So we have just to see how we link it.
Yeah.
To each other. The other thing, you know, with a rail is, is when people think of rail, sometimes people think of high-speed trains. But where I'm, my point of entry is to say, let's look at cargo.
Mm.
So you don't need a sophisticated rail. You just need a rail that's steady. If that, that thing, that train can move at about 80 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, well, mm.
But within it, if you have the rolling stock, you know, it you will replace, like, sometimes just in one truck, you can replace, like, in one wagon, you can replace almost like 10 trucks.
Yeah.
That you get off the road. And it goes steadily at 80 kilometers, even at 60 kilometers, but it must just flow.
Mm.
So I think we can do that. In Namibia, we have started to rehabilitate the rail.
Yeah.
I think we are now up to Kransberg, and from Kransberg, it will go further. But you know, around when you have the rail, for example, in Namibia, it creates also the opportunity to have, centers where so that the train doesn't just go straight from, for example, if we start at Katima to the coast, but there will be a lot of economic activities.
Yeah.
And a lot of nodes that can be developed.
Mm.
And I think, Mike, this is also very important for me, on why I said, why I was fascinated, and I said it could be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because leaders dream. The former president said leaders dream. And he gave the example of John F. Kennedy, who said, we are going to land a man on the moon.
Yeah.
And John F. Kennedy had no clue how to land a man on the moon. But then the private sector in America rallied behind him, and they actually managed to land a man on the moon.
Yeah.
So when President Netumbo says, let's have an oil refinery. This is a challenge. It's a call to action for me.
Mm.
I believe that can we make it happen?
Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes we think just because we are located in a certain space in Africa that it cannot happen.
Mm. Yeah. So the other thing probably is a return on investment. I think we're talking about a debt, you know, a country that actually used debt actually to do that. The return on investment, because the upfront cost, it's really massive to build up the infrastructure and all that. So once the refinery is up and running, how many years do you think it would take before it breaks even? You know, what calculation or benchmark we can use to say the benefit, you know, outweigh the huge upfront cost?
So the first thing, Mike, I think we have to get maybe a team together.
Mm.
As I said in the article, that will say, is there a business case? And we have to look at it long term.
Yeah.
We should not look at a business case in 3 or 5 years. We should say, this is going to be a project that will become profitable, or the return of investment will be 15 to 20 to even 25 years. And then we have to see, what is the mix of capital and who's willing to put in that long-term capital.
Mm.
And, you know, we also have, in Namibia, we also have long-term capital. So the long-term capital are the savings. Namibia, many people don't know, Namibia is actually, in relative terms, has the highest level, one of the highest levels of long-term savings.
Mm.
So I think people, they will, a financial solution can come in. When it will break even, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there are a few things that's important for a nation to flourish.
Yeah.
Okay. One is, you must have water supply security. investors are looking at water supply. Then you need energy. Mm. So energy is where you have the oil and gas, for example, petroleum, refined petroleum, but you also have electricity.
Yeah.
So if as a nation you can say that, look, we have water supply security, we have energy security.
Mm.
We households in Namibia, they can switch on the lights, they can have water to the tap. So how do you measure that social return?
Yeah.
So this is where governments are important to come in, because if it's just for the private sector, it will take it will be very how can I put it? It may not break even, but when government come in, and then it will make sense. And I think one of the roles of government is to provide energy security,
yeah,
water security, safety, those things.
Yeah.
But we can governments can team up with the private sector to do that.
Mm. Yeah. The other thing you mentioned is you talk about 1,000 of jobs. What are we really talking about? How many, for example, maybe skilled engineers versus support staff? And do we have enough, for example, local people already trained, or would we need to bring in expert from abroad? So, and then definitely that would be also, and if not, so the other thing is also looking at if our local colleges and technical schools do currently teach, for example, petroleum engineering or refinery operations, and how long would it take to set up training programs? And are we kind of like looking at 5 year or just to have to be able to have qualified people in that area? So, yeah, where are we in terms of that?
I don't know where we are, but I want to say that even America,
yeah,
Australia, Canada, they don't have the skills. These are highly advanced economies, but they import.
Mm.
So I think we should be open for the importation of skills. But despite that, we should also develop our local skills.
Yeah.
But we should also know that when we develop local skills, for example, we train our people in oil and gas, they also become mobile.
Mm.
So we must then look at a business environment. Can we train them, but can we also retain them?
Yeah.
So how it will play out, I don't know. Overall, I'm just saying that as Namibia is a small economy, we have to embrace openness.
Mm.
We also have to know that we will not always have all the skills, and that should not worry us.
Yeah.
Because look, even at the Middle East, the United Emirates, they import,
yeah,
skills. So there's nothing wrong to import skills. But what's important, Mike, for me is that the importation of skills should not come at the cost of developing the local skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the local skills, it's when it comes to education, it's something that's gonna be, there's no timeline to it.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what the new future, in the future jobs will look like. And so we'll have to continue to upskill, reskill. The point I'm trying to make is just that let's not neglect in investment in education.
Yeah. Okay. So there's also sometimes there are also this environmental concern, especially when it comes to mining, when it comes factories like, refineries as well can pollute air, can pollute water. Now, given Namibia's emphasis on conservation and also Botswana's wildlife tourisms, because that's very important to them. How do we make sure emission and spills are minimized, or what specific safeguard or technologies would you insist on?
Again, yeah, I don't have the answer, but what I know is that technology has evolved.
Yeah.
Frameworks on ESG has evolved. So Namibia has strong ESG frameworks. I believe that before we build an oil refinery, there will be a proper appraisal will have to be done on the environmental impact.
Mm.
And I don't think, and I've seen it in the past, that when Namibia actually held back on projects because there were concerns about environmental impact.
Yeah.
So, but we'll have to wait for the experts to say what is the impact. But we must also know, Mike, that technology has evolved where, the environmental and many of the big companies.
Yeah.
Because of the pressures, the global pressures, they've actually adopted and changed their standards of environmental impact assessment.
Mm.
It's very, very high. Shell, for example, they burned their fingers in the Niger Delta in Nigeria.
Mm.
And that was a turning point for Shell. So Shell has the type of environmental standards they adhere to, you will be surprised, it's actually quite high.
Mm.
And because they know, and many businesses, international businesses, they've realized that for them to be sustainable, they have to have proper ESG frameworks,
yeah,
controls, quality in place. Some of them actually even have independent evaluators,
yeah,
that will come in to evaluate. So I think those are things that during the process of establishing a refinery, those are teams that will come in that will assess,
mm,
what is the environmental impact? How can it, if there's an impact, how can it be de-risked? How can it be, yes. But, mm, but at the end, it's very important if there's a concern that, about the environment.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I want to link it to generations that are coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when we develop this oil, it's not just for today. It's actually our kids and our grandchildren that will pay for it.
Hmm.
So it's very important that we have to ensure that we are taking decisions that's evidence-based and that will have the least impact on the environment.
Yeah. So when we look at, I would like actually to probably ask a question on the risk of political change. When you look at when Trump took over, no, let me not go to Trump. When actually Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah took over new administrations. So when you think of country like Botswana and Namibia and have those joint, let's say joint cooperation in terms of this. Now, both countries could actually see new administration in coming years, in the coming years. So how do we lock in an agreement so that if one government changes, the project stay on track and terms aren't renegotiated or cancelled? Just the experience that we can see with Americas as well.
You see, America is an extreme example with Trump currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when reality sets in, then you will see that transatlantic pact, it will not be broken.
Yeah.
And so Trump is playing according to his book that he wrote, The Art of the Deal. But you can already see that some sanity checks are coming in.
Yeah.
So in the case of Namibia and Botswana, for example, in Botswana, there was not just a change in administration. There was a change in political party.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So in Namibia, we are continuing with a, is a change in administration, but it's the same political party.
Mm.
But there are bilateral agreements. Firstly, there are frameworks that goes back internationally to the UN that Namibia and Botswana have subscribed to. Both Namibia and Botswana have subscribed to the climate accord, to the SDG frameworks. There's also the Africa that we want. There's also SADC, and there's also SACCO.
Yeah.
So they're in agreements that even if there's a change in government, it will continue. Maybe sometimes if there's a change in administration, maybe the speed of implementation will change. But international law is not just to say, okay, there's now a change in the government. Okay, Trump is now a different case. Yeah, so I don't see, I see, you know, you can see the, when, President Netumbo, one of her first visits was to Botswana.
Yeah, it was to Botswana.
I think it was Angola first and then.
You're right. So Angola first and then Botswana, yeah.
And then Botswana. And you saw Botswana came for her inauguration. So the relationship between Namibia and Botswana.
Yeah.
In the foreseeable future, it's very strong. And don't forget, you know, these are countries, in SADC, they are based on a common history of colonialism. Many of these countries, they've hosted Namibian freedom fighters.
Yeah.
For example, in the case of Botswana was one of the gateways where the freedom fighters went. They did not stay long in Botswana, but it was their base. From Botswana, they went to Tanzania, Tanganyika, and other places. So there's a lot of common history that we have. And I think it's so deep that I don't foresee that it will change, even if there are changes in government.
The other, maybe let's look at also the new trends now in energy or alternative energy trends, where the world is moving towards renewables, renewable energies, solar, wind, green hydrogen. So does investing in a big, let's say for example, in a big oil refinery, risk locking ourselves into a fossil fuel, when the global trend is actually trying to reduce carbon emissions? And could the plant now, refinery plant, could it be built and then later on switch to, we switch gears later? Is that not a risk, maybe, that we get involved?
Definitely it is a risk. So we now talk about the fifth industrial revolution.
Yeah.
And you say that the fifth industrial revolution is characterized by a decarbon economy.
Yeah.
And that decarbonization started some years ago, but it will just accelerate the process of decarbonization.
Mm.
But in the foreseeable future, at least for the next 30 years, there will still be a demand for fossil-based fuels.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've seen, people that are actually investing more in a decarbonized economy, a fossil-based economies like Saudi Arabia. So if we say, okay, we have the fossil now and we just have a limited window of opportunity, why can't we take them out and we transform, we use the receipts to transform our economy to a non-carbon-based economy?
Yeah.
Because we still have that opportunity. You take it out and you say, okay, we have now done it, but in return we have replaced, we've built new industries.
Yeah.
So it's very important that if we have this refinery and the oil, that we should say that it's non-renewable.
Mm.
But what can we show in future for it? Can we build up a hospitality industry? Can we build up this a non-fossil there now. So why not make use of it?
Yeah. Yeah. So any lesson? Africa has seen both successful and I think failed refineries as well. So what lessons should Namibia and Botswana then learn from, say, Tanzania? Tanzania has some, if I got it right, have some stalled projects, or Nigeria's operational sometimes struggles. How do we avoid repeating the same mistakes?
So Mike, the way I look at it, you know, people ask me sometimes about what they call the Dutch disease.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Dutch disease, where countries have discovered oil or resources, and then their currencies appreciate and they neglect the other sectors of the economy. So that's an economic issue that we are also suffering from. So I think we have to address that, not because of the oil, but because of what's already happening. If you look at the structure of our economy, we actually have to invest more in other sectors in the economy.
Yeah.
It's also in economic theory what I call the curse.
Yeah.
So the curse is, for me, more important. So the curse is politically and systemic. So when you have these resources that are coming, it opens up opportunities for a lot of corruption, for example. So in the case of Namibia and Botswana, it's actually very good examples where there are resources that have been managed well, and corruption is kind of under control. It does not mean there's no corruption in both countries, but which country is there no corruption?
Yeah.
But it's not systemic and endemic. So the starting point for me will be to enhance our regulatory frameworks. It's to bring in more transparency. When we do the oil extraction, when we do refining, we have to open up and be more transparent.
Mm.
And also see where the money is going. So governance for me will be number one.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, maybe one area also, maybe we're looking at our maybe oil reserve certainty in Namibia. We see that Namibia's offshore fields look promising. But until the drilling is completed, we don't know exactly the volume. We don't know exactly the volume. So if, let's say, for example, if initial production falls short of the forecast, you know, could that leave us with a half built or underutilized refinery, and how do we hedge against that uncertainty?
It comes to the point that I made, and I said it was maybe a mistake in the article.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, let's build the oil refinery, whether Namibia has oil or not.
Yeah.
Yes. So the refining capacity should not be linked to the discoveries.
Mm.
Yes. Because if you look at the discoveries that we have, it's offshore. It's deep in the ocean.
Mm.
Most people will not even see. You can't build even a pipeline from where the oil is to Namibia.
Mm.
So most of the oil will probably be put on boats and it will go. So what I'm saying is that, look, why is it that for a population of 300, almost 400 million people, there's no oil refinery?
Yeah.
There's a little bit in Angola, there's a little bit in South Africa, a little bit in Tanzania, and also a tiny bit in Zambia. Why is it that Africa cannot have industries that are sophisticated and complex?
Yeah. So is there any... let me put it this way. What signal have we seen that big oil companies or multilateral banks would even be interested? Is there any signal we have seen that this would actually, you know, interest multilateral banks or companies, you know, to invest?
I've not seen, but I know that that once there's a business case, then that business case will have to be marketed. So right now we don't have a business case.
Mm.
And just because maybe we thought there's not a business case.
Yeah.
Most people argue even before we've done the analysis and we've looked at evidence, they say, no, an oil refinery, it cannot work.
Yeah.
But do we have the evidence that it cannot work? Where are the studies that shows that it's too expensive, that it doesn't make business sense? So I think once, before we build any project, whether it's an oil refinery or any other one, normally you have to develop a business case. And I think if the business case is developed, then the financiers will be interested. So at this stage, I'm saying that we are not at a business case yet.
Yeah.
We are almost like at a pre-business case, but we say, okay, let's test it. Does it tick off some of the boxes? So if it ticks off some boxes on a business case, then say, okay, from here now, let's get a team and do a proper study.
Yeah. So since this idea is already in the public discourse, if the refinery idea stalls or proven to be or too expensive, is there kind of like a backup strategy, like continuing to import but maybe focusing on building a strategic fuel stockpile or exploring smaller module plants? So what is plan B, you know, if this doesn't work?
You know, there should be scenario planning and there should be alternative planning. Look, what makes it complicated, we are also in transition, okay? We are in transitioning from a carbon-based to a non-carbon-based economy. But it will take time. So, and what many countries in the global south are calling for a just transition. It should not be rapid. And so one of the things that Namibia has done that I like, we are also, while we are drilling for oil, we are also pursuing renewable energies.
Yeah.
Yes. Because a time will come where there will be more electric vehicles. Remember, oil is not only used for vehicles. Oil is used for many other things.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So the fossil-based economy will be there for some time. It will decline over time, but it's not going to disappear overnight.
Yeah. Well, having you here, we want to get also the ordinary citizen on board by providing information. So, how do we get ordinary citizen on board? I believe this is taxpayers' money, after all. So how would you communicate benefits and risk to ensure a broader public, support and also maybe diffuse fears that it is just a vanity project?
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
All right. Welcome back. So how do we diffuse fears that it is just a vanity project? It's just an idea.
I don't want to speak about a project, but just maybe generally, there is there's a trust deficit in societies.
So yeah.
The trust deficit is between the citizens and the elected official bearers, but it's also even within a church, it's within a company.
Mm.
And here is where I think all governments and all companies can do better,
yeah,
is to engage the stakeholders. I must admit that, or not admit, I think in the case of Namibia, we don't engage sufficiently.
Yeah.
And so there must be a deliberate strategy to engage all the concerned stakeholders.
Mm.
And just be transparent and give information. I think that will go a long way in restoring trust. But if things are happening under the dark, people are wondering what is happening.
Yeah.
Then it creates kind of questions.
Mm.
So I think this is something that we definitely as a nation can do better. But not only at a political level. It's also in the boardrooms, it's in companies, it's in churches that,
yeah,
sometimes there is asymmetric information and that fuels distrust.
Mm.
And then the other one that's also important, it's not just transparency, but it's also accountability. So if something goes wrong, somebody must be held accountable. So that, I think that will, increase, it will give confidence to the ordinary citizen that I know what's happening and I know that if something was wrong, something happened.
Yeah.
There were consequences. But if I don't know and there are no consequences, then what will happen?
Yeah. Anything else that you deem important? Just, you know, maybe just to share with our listener in terms of these ideas that you also give your support or proposing as well.
So okay, my key request is, you know, let's not just say it cannot work just because it did not work or nobody thought about it. I think that's the wrong approach.
Mm.
I think we have to be confident and we have to say, maybe it can work, and let's collect all the facts, the evidence. We put it through a screening process, and we take a decision.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe there will be investors that will be willing to invest into it. So
yeah,
sometimes we have to dream a little bit bigger, but we cannot say no, it can't work. If it is worked in many other places in the world, why is it that it can't work in SADC?
Yeah.
Why? Why is it that it can't work in SADC, but it can work in other places? So I think we have to really be bold in dreaming, but before we execute, we must have solid evidence.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, if we say, okay, we've now looked at all the studies and all the concerns, and we've concluded it's not going to work, then we move on and we do something else.
Yeah.
But we cannot just say it can't work. I cannot accept that answer.
All right. John, thank you so much for joining us today and walking us actually through every angle of this fascinating idea. For our listeners, I hope today's conversation help unpack what really takes to turn a fine idea into reality. So there are no easy answers. Each of these questions we asked John will need a careful follow-up, a detailed study, as you said, and a close cooperation, I think, between the government, industries, and local communities. And thank you once again for making time to talk to our listeners.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good day.
Same to you. Thank you.
Bye.
Yes, that was John, Dr. John Stadler. Giving us, you know, the download on the fine idea, on the idea that we're following up on the article that he has written, about, the refinery, the joint refinery between Botswana and Namibia, could bring where he talk about that could bring big benefits, benefits like more stable fuel prices, thousands of new jobs, strong economic ties maybe between the two countries. So those are some of the things that the article looked at. Yeah. So we want to just to expand that a bit, and because it's also there are also in other publications a discourse and discussion on this issue. So, well, what is your reaction? Our time now is about 21 minutes past the hour of 9. We have about 9 minutes, and that we can still have one or two, three people coming through and have your reaction on our discussion. Our telephone number 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So you're welcome to come through and have your contribution. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Here, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, you are tuned into Eagle FM, the eye. And this is Unpacking the Day. And my name is Michael Chavelli. All right, our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 9. Some of the things that the whole question of regional market dynamics, if you like, or strategic partnership with the Botswana. So and actually here's where the story takes of the idea actually take an interesting turn towards, you know, regional cooperation. So the search for economic viability, I think, has led Namibia to think beyond its borders, you know, and this is where now we see some fascinating strategic development emerging. So some, you know, those report, there are some report,
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Rock your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalighty.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Yeah.
With regards to your topic on the oil refinery, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Stadler is not wrong, and his ideas are not far-fetched.
Yeah.
These are things that have been done. My only question is, why has it taken us so long to even consider it?
Yeah.
We should have done it much, much, much sooner. And if you want an idea of the costing, say, per ton of fuel that you produce, fuel being now your diesel, your petrol, your kerosene, your jet fuel, whatever else it is, right?
Mm.
I think the latest up-to-date, because what we do in chemical engineering, production cost indices that are published.
Yeah.
So you can do desktop studies specifically for reasons such as this, whereby other people who have built plants, they'll give you CAPEX indices.
Yeah.
So, for instance, they'll tell you, no, generally for a plant of X size, so say, for instance, 20,000 tons or barrels, whatever you want to use, it gives you this size, generally speaking. Right? Just like if you are building a house, the contractor will tell you, no, my cost is generally 4,000 Namibian dollars or 5,000 Namibian dollars per square.
Yeah.
It's a similar idea. So I think the last value that I had or that I can remember, I'm not sure what the up-to-date values are.
Mm-hmm.
It was something like 650... maybe 300 to 600, maybe say 300 to 500 US dollars per ton.
Yeah.
And not in barrels, but per ton of material. So if you convert that in today's money, 350 should be what? 35,000.
Yeah, around there.
Maybe 60,000.
Yeah, more.
So if you want to produce 10,000 tons, depending on which fuel you want, if you want diesel, if you want petrol, their density is less than water. But let's assume their densities are the same as water, and we all clump them together. That's if you want to produce 10,000 tons, you know, you just have to multiply that number, and you can get that. So it's not a secret science. It's not alchemy. It's very easy to do.
Yeah.
Very straightforward.
Yeah.
I know that NUST offers chemical engineering courses now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if UNAM does, but I know that NUST does.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I know that there are a lot of graduates who have come out, and also people who've worked in industry who can be consulted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially for desktop studies.
Yeah.
You can even hire an independent company that specializes maybe in oil and gas only to come in and do a desktop study. You know, it's not difficult to do.
Yeah.
But from where I'm standing, I would say that yes, Namibia can definitely build an oil refinery. It's just a matter of, and yes, Namibia can fund it themselves or itself, right?
Yeah.
Which is what I would prefer. I would prefer that government actually make investments. The problem with governments, especially African governments, is they never make investments into themselves.
Yeah.
They'll take a loan to pay a cost, but they'll never take a loan or put money aside to make an investment.
Yeah.
So whether you're a government or whether you're an individual, if you don't make investments, how are you going to grow financially?
Hmm.
You can have all the savings in the world. They mean nothing if you are taking that same money and giving it to somebody else for them to generate income for themselves and then give you a piece of the top.
Hmm.
That means nothing.
Yeah.
You need to have investments. And Namibia does not have investments either in things like oil refinery or nuclear energy plants or even water production. Boreholes don't count. That's not an investment. It is an investment, but I don't count it. Those are the types of things that government should be investing in, so that if you get to the point where maybe you go under sanctions or maybe the world goes to hell in a handbasket and Namibia is now isolated from the rest of the world, then we can definitely depend on ourselves. We've got the water security. We've got the energy security.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that. It's not just for the sake of doing business.
Yeah.
Investments are to be done. Everybody is supposed to be involved with investment at some or other level. Mm. And I'm not talking about the investments like My Life Change.
Yeah.
I know you were part of that one, Mike. You were part of My Life Change. were you part of My Life
Unfortunately,
Change?
Unfortunately, not.
Those are not investments. Those are schemes. An investment is not a scheme. A scheme is, hey, let's make a little bit of money quickly. An investment is different. So I know Namibians, we love schemes. We love schemes, right?
Quick money.
Yeah. But that is not an investment. An investment is to take money and you say that this is going to produce for me an income generating asset.
Right,
that's an investment.
And that's what John actually gave an example of. Yeah.
So why does the government, my question is this, why you brought in John? Can you please bring in the Minister of Finance or anybody else, even the last minister, anybody? I just want to understand, what is the thinking about government not putting money away to invest in itself?
These guys, they only love to go to like NBC or something like that. But when you call them, they always have, but we do try, honestly. These are the people that we want to bring in, but sometimes are very difficult to,
have to call them out. Call them out on the show here. Make a public announcement and say, this is a public announcement. We invite any government official, post or current, who is in the know that can answer this question as to why do we not have investments? Why does government not value investment? Is it because money loses its value over time?
Yeah.
Go back to 2007, the Namibian dollar was double the strength it is right now. Not even double, almost, it's going for 3 now, right? Because the Namibian dollar to the US dollar was seven point something.
Yeah.
Go back another 30 years before, money loses its value over, it's fiat. It's losing its value over time. So why is it that you're not willing to give up a fiat currency that loses value over time to gain an asset that gains value over time?
Yeah. So we're taking away Mr. Helmut's minutes. So,
Helmut's minutes also can be taken a little bit. Helmut's minutes can be taken. It's all good. It's all a joke until somebody gets hurt. Okay.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through and for your contribution, man. All right.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. So, Helmut, you probably hear that. It's all about it's all about jokes until someone get hurt. Well, let's bring us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day today. And thank you for listening. And let's also thank John Stadler for coming through and giving us information on this idea. We're just looking at this idea and see how that would be possible and what need to be done to make it possible, and also the contribution that actually Anonymous have just made. All right. Let's do this again tomorrow, at the same time on the same station here on Eagle FM. For now, Helmut is waiting and I will say goodbye. I will say my goodbye until tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.